Politico London Playbook, Barnier vs. May. Whipping up a storm, Putin heads for Washington. By Jack Blanchard. Send tips here, subscribe for free, view in your browser. Good Friday morning. Driving the day. Barnier gives his verdict. Michel Barnier will this morning brief EU27 European Affairs ministers on the current state of the Brexit talks in the first major Brussels summit since the Chequers plan was published. Today's General Affairs Council meeting is a biggie and will involve a two-hour discussion of the withdrawal treaty, the unresolved Irish border issue and Theresa May's white paper on the future relationship. Barnier will then deliver his verdict in a press conference when the meeting breaks up at around noon UK time. We already have a fair idea what he thinks of May's plan. The only question is how hard he decides to turn the screw today. Incoming, the expectation this week has been that Barnier may pull his punches, in a bid to avoid piling too much pressure on Theresa May. EU diplomats are much blunter in their private conversations, however. One source tells The Times today that Barnier is unimpressed with the Chequers plan and views it as an attempt to cherry-pick parts of the single market. This goes to the integrity of the single market and the incompatibility of white paper ideas with that, a senior EU source says. It seems that there is deep misunderstanding in some parts of the UK that the EU could bargain on its founding principles. Member states feel strongly about the UK asking for changes to the way in which the single market works. There cannot be give and take on that. Which doesn't exactly bode well. Not impressed, Politico's David Herzenhorn also has the view from Brussels, and it's grim. One EU diplomat asked Thursday if he was glad to see the white paper published in all of the EU's different languages. Tells David, to be honest, I haven't read the translation yet. My English might not be perfect, but the questions that I have are not related to language but to substance. Meet the new guy. Barnier had his first meeting with new Brexit Secretary Dominic Raab in Brussels yesterday, and warned that common ground must be found between the UK and EU positions. It's all an awfully long way from the Tory Brexiteers' position, which is that May's Chequers plan is a take-it-or-leave-it offer and that no further concessions are acceptable. No wonder the talk of a no-deal Brexit is increasing on either side of the English Channel. The vitamin volcano, sketchwriters at least seem to be enjoying Raab's promotion to the cabinet. In The Telegraph, Michael Deacon memorably describes the karate-kicking minister as a baseball bat in a suit and contrasts him with the laid-back David Davis. The Guardian's John Crace concludes Raab is determined to live down to the standards of his predecessor. On a more serious note, the Daily Mail's political editor Jason Groves reckons Raab has vowed to take back control of the Brexit process from the PM's top Europe adviser Ali Robbins. We'll see how that goes. A government source tells the Mail, the deal is that every document from Ali Robbins to the PM has to go through Dom now, which often didn't happen in the past, with DD. Every meeting, Dom will attend, which hardly ever happened before. He is taking back control. Back in the real world, Theresa May will deliver her own warning to Brussels this morning with a big speech in Northern Ireland on Brexit. The PM will adopt the EU's own language and urge Barnier to evolve his position, just as she has done since the Lancaster House speech of January 2017. It is now for the EU to respond, the PM will say. Not simply to fall back on to previous positions which have already been proven unworkable, but to evolve their position in kind. The PM will also play hardball on the EU's backstop plan for the Irish border, describing it as unworkable, contrary to the Good Friday Agreement and something neither she nor the UK Parliament could ever accept. More here from the Beeb. Whipping up a storm, May's Belfast speech will also be watched eagerly for her response to questions about the future of her chief whip Julian Smith and party chairman Brandon Lewis, after they broke pairing arrangements in the crunch Brexit vote on Tuesday night. Newsnight's Nick Watt was last night reporting absolute fury among Tory MPs and ministers at Smith's behaviour, but number 10 is sticking firmly behind him for now. You can see why, above all, the PM needs loyal ministers around her right now. It's all going to plan. Today's must-read piece is this column by Fraser Nelson in The Telegraph, which sets out the latest thinking of the newly empowered Brexiteers and May's party. He reports the Brexit squad are actually warming to the Chequers plan, as they know Barnier is certain to reject it. Chequers is the most cherry-picking deal imaginable, one cabinet minister tells him gleefully. The Brexiteers believe May has no wiggle room left, and that Barnier's inevitable slapdown will force her to up preparations for a no-deal through the autumn. Their hope is that she will then pitch a final offer to the EU at the 11th hour. Nelson reveals law firm Linklaters has been commissioned to draw up a proposed trade deal offer with all the best bits of current EU deals with Canada, South Korea, and Switzerland. "We would not be asking for anything that they haven't offered to other people," one cabinet minister tells him. "It's steel nerves time. They'd be mad not to accept." But, the cabinet minister adds, "but they might not. So we'd have to be sure we were ready to go through with the World Trade Alternative." Brace, the World Trade option, as Brexiteers are now optimistically trying to rebrand a no-deal Brexit, appears to be gaining traction. The Times splashes on the warnings due to be issued by Whitehall every week through the summer to try to prepare Britain for the hardest Brexit imaginable. The FT picks up on Treasury Minister Mel Stride's comments to a Lords committee yesterday that the Treasury will relax tax collection at the border in the event of a no deal in an attempt to keep the traffic moving through the ports. High stakes. The clear impression now is that on every side of this argument, key figures are raising the stakes as the autumn deadline looms. The Brexiteers stand ready to risk a hard Brexit in the hope of landing their lucrative trade deal. While on the other side, it seems the most ardent Euromaniacs will risk the same in the hope of stopping Brexit altogether. Tony Blair was on BBC Newsnight last night and was in no mood to compromise, putting the boot in hard to Theresa May's Chequers plan. "It doesn't honor what most people who voted for Brexit think," he said. "We know that because they are saying it. Watch the clip." Bad news, Blair. The former Labour PM's hope is that rather than accepting a compromise, the deadlock in Parliament will lead to a so-called people's vote, a second referendum on the final deal. The Economist also backs the idea in an editorial today, but that only looks possible if Labour shifts its position further and backs the plan. And Blair won't like the noises coming out of Islington North last night. Speaking at a meeting of her local constituency party, Shadow Foreign Secretary Emily Thornberry dismissed the idea outright. According to HuffPost, she said, "What we need is not a second referendum, we need a general election." She also made clear reversing Brexit is not an option. "We have to leave," Thornberry said. "We went ahead and had a referendum and we lost it. And overwhelmingly, above everything else, we are Democrats, so we have to do as instructed, as much as it breaks our heart." Meanwhile in Washington, my new best friend, more jaw-dropping stuff in D.C. last night as the White House announced Donald Trump has invited Vladimir Putin to the White House. Seemingly undaunted by the angry backlash to his cozy presser with the Russian president the other day, not to mention the massive ongoing inquiry into his campaign's links with the Kremlin, Trump wants Putin to come and stay at his house this autumn. "I look forward to our second meeting," Trump tweeted. Must see TV, the news broke while Trump's Director of National Intelligence Dan Coats, his top intelligence official, was being interviewed on live TV. Coats' reaction is quite something, you really have to watch the clip. Incredibly, Coats also revealed he still has no idea what Trump and Putin discussed in their private one-on-one in Helsinki. "I don't know what happened in that meeting," he told ABC. "It seems Trump has not even debriefed his senior officials on what was discussed. It hardly needs saying, but this is simply not how government is meant to work." Fallout. Morale in the White House is tumbling following Trump's disastrous Putin love-in, Politico's Eliana Johnson reports today. "People are just depressed," one Republican close to the White House says. "There are a bunch of people who were thinking maybe they'd leave after the midterms who are very seriously starting to consider accelerating their timetable." Actions have consequences. The Guardian's Helena Smith reports on how Trump's casual questioning of whether he would come to the aid of a small NATO ally in Eastern Europe has destabilized countries like Montenegro. Today in Westminster Parliament, the Commons is not sitting today, but the Lords is in session from 10 a.m. Hancock's half hour. Matt Hancock makes his debut as health secretary today with a speech at his local hospital in West Suffolk. The former digital secretary will play on his tech credentials with a pledge to spend £500 million on new mobile apps and barcode systems to improve patient care, the Daily Mail's Sophie Borland reports. But Politico's Katie Jennings and Sarah Wheaton write that Hancock's big ambitions for digitizing the health service will face a wall of inertia. Squatters writes, Boris Johnson remains entrenched in the Foreign Secretary's grand official residence in Carlton Gardens nearly 2 weeks after resigning his post. The Daily Mirror's Andy Gregory reveals in a big front-page splash today. Bojo is renting his own pad in Islington out to Royal Ballet choreographer Wayne McGregor, apparently, and so can't easily move back home. Labour MPs are predictably unsympathetic. While many people in Westminster are stuck on housing waiting lists, this amounts to taxpayer-funded squatting from Boris, complains Catherine West. He should pack his bags and move on. No comment yet from the property's rightful resident, Jeremy Hunt. Speaking of which, Hunt and Defence Secretary Gavin Williamson are in Edinburgh today to host their Australian counterparts for defence talks. What everyone is laughing at, shit Parliament. This excellent Twitter account featuring some of the finest sights from inside our crumbling cradle of democracy. Highly recommended. Get out of jail free, Justice Secretary David Gough has a front-page interview in The Telegraph today in which he makes the case for the rehabilitation rather than punishment of prisoners. He sounds braced for the pushback from his own backbenches, and probably the right-wing press. Colleagues from all parts of the Conservative Party. Not every colleague, but most of my colleagues from all parts of the Conservative Party say this is the right approach. We have got to focus on rehabilitation, he says. Media round. All Out Politics, Sky News, 10 a.m., former Irish Prime Minister John Bruton. 10.05 a.m., German MEP Elmar Brok, a member of the EU's Brexit steering group. The Spectator's Katie Balls and comedian actor Nick Hall review the newspaper comment sections. 10.15 a.m., Irish historian Jonathan Moore and political journalist Amanda Ferguson discuss Theresa May's visit to Ireland. 10.30 a.m., author David Cohen discusses his new book Churchill and Attlee. The Unlikely Duo Who Won the War, 10.45 a.m. Daily Politics, BBC Two, noon, The Guardian's political correspondent Jessica Elgott. Former Labour adviser Tom Baldwin and Open Europe director Henry Newman. Any questions? BBC Radio 4, 8 p.m., broadcast tonight from Birmingham R. Defence Minister Tobias Elwood, Labour MP Jess Phillips, trade unionist Sharon Burrow, and political commentator Tim Montgomery. Reviewing the papers tonight, BBC News, 10.45 p.m. and 11.30 p.m. The Guardian's political correspondent Jessica Elgott and former number 10 head of press Giles Kenningham. Sky News, 10.30 p.m. and 11.30 p.m. Faiza Shaheen, Labour's candidate for Chingford and Woodford Green, and the FT's Sebastian Payne. Today's front pages. Click on the publication's name to see its front page. City AM. Shareholders vent fury over Royal Mail pay. Daily Express, Lawless Britain, the runaway crime wave. Daily Mail, what a cozy cover-up. MPs grant themselves anonymity if accused. Daily Mirror, Boris clings on for free in £20 million house. Financial Times, Bank of England probed risks to KPMG's viability after string of scandals. HuffPost, exclusive, Labour's Emily Thornberry rules out second Brexit referendum. I found Novichok hit squad. Metro, policing cuts fuel surge and murders. The Daily Telegraph, jail is not working, warms Gough. The Guardian, children used as spies in covert action against gangs and terror. The Independent, soaring violent crime is public health emergency. The Sun, airhead, fury at EU today, Leo Varadkar. The Times, public to be warned every week over no-deal Brexit. On the continent, read what the rest of Europe's papers are saying in Politico's EU Press Review blog here, updated daily at around 8 a.m. Today's News Mags. The Economist, the plan to save the WTO. Thank pod, it's Friday. Weekend Listening, the lineups from today's best podcast interviews, click on the links to listen. Chopper's Brexit Podcast. The Telegraph's Chris Hope interviews former Brexit Minister Steve Baker, former Cabinet Minister Justine Greening, Tory MEP David Campbell Bannerman, and Lucy Harris of the Leavers of London pro-Brexit group. EU Confidential, Politico's Ryan Heath interviews European Agriculture Commissioner Phil Hogan on farming, Brexit, and trade deals, and French MP Amélie de Montchalin of Emmanuel Macron's En Marche party, on the future of the EU. E. Sharp, editor Paul Adamson interviews Financial Times political editor George Parker on the current state of Brexit. Political Thinking, the BBC's Nick Robinson interviews Chief Secretary to the Treasury Liz Truss. The Spectator Podcast, Laura Prendergast interviews former U.S. Ambassador Robert Ford on Trump in the Middle East. Times columnist Matthew Paris, former Vote Leave chairwoman Gisela Stewart. The Institute for Economic Affairs' Kate Andrews. And Novara Media's Aaron Bastani. Your weekend in politics. Quiet weekend, Then, Jeremy Corbyn is due to address the Tall Puddle Martyrs Festival in Dorset on Sunday. Sunday shows look ahead. This is the last weekend of Sunday shows until September, and the last Sunday politics ever. The Mar Show has new Brexit Secretary Dominic Raab and Shadow Business Secretary Rebecca Long-Bailey. Sophie Ridge on Sunday has Shadow Chancellor John McDonnell. No word from PNR or the Sunday politics as yet. And the Westminster Hour on Sunday night has Tory Brexiteer Jacob Rees-Mogg. Labour Lords leader Angela Smith and former number 10 aide Chris Wilkins. Beyond the M25. From Paris. I predict a riot. Emmanuel Macron is under pressure to sack one of his most senior aides today after he was filmed donning a riot helmet and violently attacking protesters. You've presumably seen the footage by now, but there's a good Guardian write-up here. It's been a bonkers couple of weeks in world politics, but this story might just top the lot. From Lahore. Just not cricket. Pakistan goes to the polls next week to elect a new prime minister. And former cricket star Imran Khan is on course for victory at last, The Times reports. London Culling. Westminster weather, sun, sunny with clouds and showers. Sun, warm sunshine and light cloudy day with, what's this? A chance of rain in the late afternoon. Unheard of. Highs reaching 26°C. Travel, severe delays on the Docklands Light Railway due to a trespasser on the tracks. Congratulations, a fine summer's evening for last night's engagement party for the FT Sebastian Payne and Demos Sophie Gaston. Held in the garden at the Spectator's offices near Parliament. Guests drank Prosecco and ate their own body weights in cheese, as an ace jazz band played in the evening sun. Disaster had loomed earlier in the day when the band threatened to pull out upon realizing the venue was the HQ of what is lovingly known as the Tory Bible. It turned out most of the players were paid-up Corbynistas. Thankfully Payne's pink UFT allegiance appears to have won them round. Payne used his speech to reminisce about meeting Gaston at a Labour Party conference some years ago and then slipping into her DMs in true millennial style. Spotted, Times editor John Witherow, the BBC's Andrew Neil, chief secretary to the Treasury Liz Truss, Mail on Sunday columnists Rachel Johnson and Dan Hodges, campaigner Caroline Criado Perez, FT lobby crew George Parker and Jim Picard, Seb's charming mom Bronwyn Payne, Tory SP Ed's Emma Silver, Sheridan Westlake and Lee Kane, Times columnist Ian Martin, Spectator editor Fraser Nelson, former Vote Leave chief executive Matthew Elliott, Chairwoman of Republicans Overseas UK Sarah Elliott, Guido's Alex Wickham, the IEA's Narissa Chesterfield, Centre for Policy Studies director Robert Colville, The Times' Lucy Fisher, The Sun's Harry Cole and Andy Sylvester, CNN's Luke McGee, The Specky's James Forsyth, Katie Boz and Toby Young, The Guardian's Jim Watterson, Michael Martin's from the US Embassy, and many more. Also spotted, at last night's summer drinks party at the Treasury, out in the Grand Central Courtyard, was Chief Secretary Liz Truss chastising one unfortunate lobby hack for their coverage of her notorious Michael Gove/Stove speech the other week. Was she upset at the way her gentle teasing of cabinet colleagues had been flamed up into a blazing row? Annoyed at how her wide-ranging speech was perceived as a leadership bid? Absolutely not. Truss was unhappy that the accuracy of her hipster reference to classic 80s movie Gremlins had been called into question. Those familiar with the 1984 film Gremlins will recall how the cute gizmo, when fed after midnight, turned into a slime-soaked baddie stripe, she said in her speech. Various film lovers have since suggested this is not actually what happens. See for example this tweet by the Institute of Gremlins 2 Studies. Truss insists she was bang on the money. Playbook is staying right out of this one. Londoners might like this cockpit video taken from an RAF tornado during a flypast of central London. Politicos might like the South Bank Centre is showing a centenary exhibition to mark Nelson Mandela's life and political career. The exhibit promises to provide insight into Mandela's journey from a young freedom fighter to becoming the inspiration for an international movement against South Africa's violent and oppressive apartheid system, and an emblem of an ongoing struggle to build a more just and equitable world. Entry is free, and doors open 10 a.m. to 11 p.m. daily. Aspiring journos might like, the Center for Investigative Journalism is hosting a half-day workshop on the intersection between digital innovation and reportage. Open to anyone, it's likely to be especially interesting for designers, aspiring writers, reporters and those interested in how digital technologies are creating new opportunities for citizen journalism. It takes place tomorrow at the Design Museum in Kensington. Book your tickets in advance here. ABC Stats, the latest newspaper sales figures are out and make for more grim reading for Press Corps. Of the paid-for daily papers, only the FT, the Times and the Sun managed to keep their year-on-year percentage falls in single figures. At the other end of the spectrum, the Daily Telegraph lost almost a quarter of its sales in a single year. Morning Freebie: the Metro remains Britain's most distributed paper, a fraction ahead of the paid-for Sun. In the online world, the Mail and Mirror online operations also took sizable hits, presumably as the Sun's now free site continues to hoover up traffic. Read the Press Gazette verdict here. Happy birthday to Gainsborough MP Edward Lee, St. Ives MP Derek Thomas, Corbynade Jack McKenna, Tory peer Peter Palumbo, and former European Commission President Jacques Delors, who turns 93. Playbook couldn't happen without my editors Oya Shevkalovich. Subscribe to the Politica newsletter family. Brussels Playbook, London Playbook, Sunday Crunch, Brussels Influence, DC Playbook, all our Politico Pro Policy morning newsletters.